Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez-Sardina.
He is risen! The Lord is risen from the dead. That is the song of Christians. The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is truly risen, as he said, alleluia, alleluia. For centuries, Christians the world over have been celebrating the fact that Christ defeated death. He killed death. Death is dead. Life is alive. And Jesus is alive and well, and he is inviting each one of us, knocking at the door of our hearts, to enter in, to sup with us, to dine with us, to give us his very body and blood, soul and divinity, as our food. Will you welcome him? Will you season it up? Will you enjoy this Easter Sunday, Easter octave, and Easter season, 50 days of glorious celebration, and come closer to Jesus to receive the new life that he has won for you? You were one by one who is God Almighty. Enjoy Easter, enjoy the resurrection, enjoy Jesus.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Crack to start off the show, huh, Miss Sullivan? There ain't nothing like it.
I just want accolades for not talking over the intro and outro music yet.
Yeah, you have not done that yet. Although, I love that the first thing that you did on today's show is laugh at me. That's the first thing you did. I yell at, like I always do. My
it's
voice
how
cracks,
I spend the majority of my time with you, too.
And you're just like, ah, ha, ha, you dummy. That's great. Hey, Allison, while we're making fun of each other, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Oh my gosh, we are
so cute.
You and I are not like the model token, like know everything about Catholicism Catholics.
Oh,
but
no.
we just faked that one because
yeah, that was good. We did not plan that. I feel like everyone needs to know that.
What would have been really funny is if you said that and I did like the millennial version, like he is risen for sure. Like totally.
That needs to be a thing. That's really funny.
It does. Shout outs to John Christ and his For Sure movement.
For sure.
Okay. Fur shirt. Speaking of Lent, did you wear a fur shirt?
I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Like, you never heard of like wearing a fur, like wearing
like
what are
camel
they
hair, like John the Baptist?
Yeah.
I'm fresh out. I don't have one of those.
No? I feel like you would.
Well, give me one.
I will.
I'm waiting.
Oh, man.
Okay.
This is fun. It's Easter. Which means that Lent is over. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Celebration.
Celebration and thank God it's over. Like, uh-huh. You don't want to know why I'm thankful that it's over? Because I didn't do a good job.
Elaborate. I need some details.
Okay.
I like to know about your failures, Taylor.
Then we're going to get into yours.
Fair.
Okay. So I told everybody at the beginning of Lent that I wasn't going to tell everybody what I was doing.
Sure.
Because I didn't want to jinx it, or I wanted to be holy. I don't know what the reason was, really.
I feel like that's biblical.
Yeah. Like, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, which is like physically impossible. Like, unless like you just can't feel one of your arms. Like, I know my left hand doesn't, I guess. Okay. One of two things. Either my left knows what my right is doing because they're connected by my brain, or my left hand knows nothing because it's a hand and it can't think.
Okay.
So either way, that scripture just never made sense to me. But I think it's supposed to mean don't tell people what you're doing to try to grow in holiness, mm-hmm. because, one, it would take the holiness out of it, or two, when you fail at it, they'll know. That's what we're going to do today.
You're just going to proclaim it.
So part of my humility for Lent is happening after Easter, because I didn't do a lot well in Lent. So I'm doing it now, which I know is like totally against church teaching.
Well, God works outside of time, I hear.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Like, before we even get into this, it's like, I feel like I'm always like, I want to be the balance and the force. Like, both internally, I feel that. Like, I need balance in the force internally. But also, like, I want to balance what's going on. So, like, during Lent, I am, like, all, like, make thoughts and fun again. Don't forget joy. Mm-hmm. Don't live your lives like Lent.
Right.
And then I have a bad Lent. And we're in this time of celebration. And I'm like, guys, calm down. Like, we still need to grow in holiness. We still need
a contrarian is what I'm hearing.
I'm a Jedi. I want to bring balance to the force. That's what I want to do. Just let me have it. Let me be a Jedi for once.
I relate to that somehow. It's like, if I'm supposed to do something, I'm just naturally inclined to resist. It's my personality.
I stopped listening after you said somehow, because it's like you're surprised that you agree with me.
Indeed. Yes. That is for sure. That is what just happened. I'm like, wait, we agree. Show's over.
Exactly. I think you are like, I don't know. Like, I see that in you. And I think it is the contrarian. Like, I want to be different or fight the man.
Well, like, for example,
it's just laziness.
In the fifth grade, which I know you weren't born yet, but when I was in the fifth grade, everyone liked New Kids on the Block, and I wasn't there for it. And here's why. It had nothing to do with their music, and it had everything to do with not going with the flow. I just really needed to run the opposite direction for some reason, and it felt important to my personality to do so.
Okay, so I'm a millennial, and what we dealt with was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Like, same.
We had to pick. Like, you had to be an NSYNC person or a Backstreet Boys person. So who did you go with if it wasn't New Kids on the Block?
I mean, I guess Debbie Gibson. I don't know. But I just was not going to fall all over these boys who, frankly, weren't even very cute.
So now we need to end the show, because you just made a reference on a show for young adults by someone. No, I don't.
You don't know Debbie Gibson.
I don't know what a Debbie Gibson is.
Stop that.
What does she do?
I get lost in your eyes.
Well, are you?
If I could sing, Taylor, I would be belting it right now. I'm having images of slow dancing at a middle school dance.
Okay, moving on. We're going to go back to my Lent, okay?
Fine.
I thought we were going to talk about my failures first and then yours, but you decided to flip that order.
Okay, go ahead. So what did you want to do? What did you not do?
Here's what I wanted to do for Lent.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of miniature changes, like, because kind of the whole like anti-Exodus 90 thing. Like, I don't want to make all these huge changes at once. I want to do all these little ones. And then I failed at that anyway. Okay. I wanted to get back in shape. Mm-hmm. Both, yes, there's always going to be 10 to 50% of me that wants to look good. But there is this other part of me that's like, I want to be alive for my children.
It needs
to
be healthy.
I have heart issues at the age of 29.
Sure. Like,
I
so need there's to be, vanity and practicality.
Absolutely. Just, yeah. Like that's my inner being in a sentence.
Sure.
So I was like, I need to be healthy. But I had just pulled my hamstring running with my track team. Fantastic.
Hammies will get you every time.
I know. Mine don't work. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a 15-minute walk every day. And when I've done this well, it's like a de-stressor.
Sure.
Where I go out, I get home, end of the day, end of the night, go on a walk, and usually I'm listening to my podcast where it's like helping me pray.
Sure.
The Pray As You Go podcast. So I was like, cool, because part of the other part of this was 30 minutes of prayer a day. Mm-hmm. And that's like I'm supposed to do that for work. Like I work in full-time ministry as a missionary, and it just hasn't happened the last month or two, or like before Lent. So I was like, I need to do this better. And like, it went well. I maybe did it 50% of the time, mm-hmm. which sounds bad because I was supposed to do it 100% of the time, but that's probably double the percentage of what I was doing before Lent. So still minor improvement. The 15-minute walks, I think I did it every night for the first week and a half, and then I never did it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm very tired and busy.
Isn't that interesting though? Because you finished it feeling more peaceful, right? I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So why do we not recreate the things that make us feel good? What is wrong with us?
I don't know. And I think what's weird for me is like all of these things, like none of the things that I've done on here are new, except for there was one specific book that we'll get to that I was reading through. That was the only thing that was new. All of these things I've done before, and they have worked before.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if they've worked before, then they should work again. And I still couldn't bring myself to it because I'm a dummy.
Right.
Yeah. Yay, Easter.
Well, I feel like when I finishing my Lent, the biggest realization for me was I feel like we can kind of boast about our own self sufficiency. So we can kind of look back on our Lent if we were really great at it and be like, way to go, self. And
is that how you talk to yourself? Good job, self. You look fantastic today, self.
You cute.
self.
But, you know, me looking back on my Lent and its, collection of failures.
Wait, we're not to you yet.
Well, but this is what I want to say, though, about not recreating the things that make us feel good and what's wrong with us is that this is all about Jesus.
Right.
This is just all about Jesus. I can look back and go, holy smokes, I have very little to offer here. And so I'm not going to boast about, how great my love is for Jesus. I'm going to boast about how great Jesus's love is for me.
Dang it, Allison, you just made the point that we're supposed to make like
at the end.
At the end as we move into break. Now we're going to end the show.
I always do that.
Darn Debbie Gibson. We should have stopped after her.
No, but I had grand aspirations to just learn more about fasting. I'm so bad at depriving myself.
That was your last appearance
I know,
of the show. We talked
which,
about fasting.
Gosh, you made me spill all the beans in public with a microphone. So talk about your left hand not knowing what your right hand's doing. Like,
your left hand's doing what you don't want your right hand to do. that's your version.
But I really did want to learn a lot more about sacrifice, even in little ways, things that were really manageable, like you said, just, and I had a list of questions, for myself, like, do you need that? Are you hungry? And so just these little barriers to grabbing, to instantly grabbing, because I grab for comfort. We all do. And I had, a list of five questions and it is amazing to me, the mental acrobatics that I can go through in order to convince myself that, yes, I do need that. And here's why it doesn't matter. And here's why it's no big deal. And here's why it is humbling, to say the least. So I did have a few successes, though, and they felt good when I had them, ending the day with feeling like, okay, that is something I can do. And then filing that away to say, I can do the hard thing. Is it easy? No, but I know that I can do it. So I don't know. My Lent was kind of a mishmash of successes and failures.
So it's interesting to hear you talking about the successes and failures back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest success was a failure.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest thing because I was traveling on a Friday, like don't eat meat on a Friday. I was in an airport all day. Mm-hmm. All three of my meals were in an airport.
Yeah, traveling's hard.
It was crazy. You want to know how to get sick very quickly? Eat seafood 2 out of 3 meals and beans in the other meal.
Oh, gosh.
Because I was so sacrificial, mm-hmm. I was sick for my entire trip.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a little tummy ache. Because I ate airport shrimp
seafood
twice.
In an airport.
Oh, my gosh. Guys.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Just have a little conversation with Jesus and be like, look, dude, I got to work for you. I'm here to talk at this conference, and I really don't want to be...
Plus beans.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Tummy ache, baby. Mm-mm. So, like, the tummy ache, it seems a little weird to complain about that, like, 4 or 5 days after, you know, the cross. Like, I understand that it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But, like, can I give up meat on Thursday? Mm-hmm. Like, can I do that instead?
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, because I did it. I was a good Catholic boy. Mm-hmm. I did not eat meat because that's going to make me holy. And then I was sick for 3 days.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. But, you know, when I think of... So I spend Easter season just weepy. I feel like you're either weepy at Christmas or Easter. Like, people are either Christmas people or Easter people. And I'm an Easter person. Easter just undoes me. And Peter... There's something about him and his personality that just breaks my heart. I'm a Peter. You might be too. Are you a Peter?
We can all tell at this moment that you didn't listen to last week's show. Very good.
Oh, sorry, Taylor. I have not gotten there yet. I'm behind. But, you know, just speaking out of turn and for too long and all that jazz. But
right.
But here's what I want to say about him that really struck me about my Lent at the end is... You know, at the very end, when Jesus has made breakfast for him and he says, do you love me? And he asks him with agape, the word agape. And Peter answers him with phileo.
We're all very hungry.
My mind is. But Peter answers him with phileo. And so he's saying, do you agape me? And he's saying, I phileo you. And he's just so aware of his frailty. But, you know, after this is all said and done, he's just so aware. And that's where I am right now,
right.
You know?
And it's interesting you say that part, because we did talk about that a little bit last week, but
yeah.
Like this connection I've literally never made until you just said that today is like, so there's this prayer that I say when I go up for a communion, I've been saying it since I was in high school and the last line as you're going up to receive Jesus, it's, help me in my imperfect love to return love to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's this recognition of like,
yeah.
I can't love you like you love me.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, you died, rose again, and then turned yourself into bread to be with me. Like, I can't do any of that. You know, I can't do any. I can do the dying part, I guess. Like, that's the one. I can do 1/3 of what you did. Mm-hmm. But like, it is this, like, in my imperfect love in Lent, because it didn't go well. Like, all of these things. Like, ignoring limits on my phone, ignoring Bible app, not ignoring Bible app notifications, not cussing. Like, again, it went down a considerable bit. I gave myself a 70 out of 100 on the cussing thing.
Yeah.
Reading the Memento Mori book, I read like 3 days. Like, not very good. So, like, I averaged all of these things out. The one that I did one well. And this one drives everybody crazy at my office.
I'm dying to know.
Because for Lent, I said, you know what? I'm going to turn off my phone for Mass.
Oh.
Because we all know that I think that the offertory hymn is Catholic intermission, and that's where I check the scores and check the text messages and all these kinds of things.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to be present for all of Mass. And I turned off. I did that 100% of the time. So I am a little proud of myself.
That is
there.
Good.
And no one else is proud of me because they're like, you're an idiot. You should be doing that all the time. But I'm very proud of myself because the amount of times that I reached into my pocket to pull out my phone and it was off. Like, it's just a natural instinct for me.
Sure.
And I was just like, oh, it's off. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I finally started having those realizations because it wasn't just like all that's built in from when I was a music director at a parish. So I was at 5 of the same masses every weekend. So like one mass, I would pay attention and my phone would be off. The other 4, I was on my phone because I can't pay attention at all 5 masses. So it's just leftover stuff from all that. So that was good. I did that 100% of the time. But even with that 100%, if you average all of, I did my percentages this morning. If you had to grade on a scale of 1 to 100, my Lent, I got a 37.
That is not passing.
That's not very good. It's not very good. Not the worst grade I've ever made on a test, but not very good.
Luckily, Jesus is victorious.
Right. And here's the thing. It's like this. It's so on brand for me to mess up this much. Like this is who I am. I make a 37 on the things that I try to do for Jesus. And then every stinking time, it's this whole idea of like, you know, like, Allison, you can't plan or you can't do a sin because you know that you can go to confession, right? Like, that's not why I didn't do any of these things. I didn't do any things because I'm a broken human being and I mess up, right? Okay. But at the same time, like, my Easter, but this is despite all of it, my Easter experience was amazing. Like, I went to Easter Mass and like the whole like Triduum experience. There was this quote that I was reading in one of my Lenten daily devotionals that I read the day before Easter because I was still in Lent. It's internally. And it's a quote from the perspective of the Father. It says, "I know everything about you, your darkest secrets, your biggest failures, all the mistakes you have ever made and ever will make. And I love you anyway. I accept you and everything you are. You can approach my throne with confidence." And like that is it, like that quote is the quote that drives my spiritual
life. It's so good.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's the first time I've ever heard that quote, but like all things like that, like that's what I need, because I come to Easter and I'm like, look, here's all I got.
Right.
I did 37% of the things that I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
You did 100.
Yeah.
Like I tried. I'm sorry. And like every time it's not this, like, you messed up, you need to do better. It's, I love you. I sacrificed myself for you anyway. And that inspires me to be better than this 37%.
Right. You know, like, yes, absolutely.
I'm always holier in Easter season than I am in Lent because then I'm like acting out of this thankfulness, right?
That is awesome. I love that. Then it really becomes a response. But I feel like that calm acceptance of ourselves, the calm acceptance that we are both divine because we're made in His image and His Holy Spirit is within us, and then dust. You know, that we are sinners that will never be worthy of a kingdom, not on our own. When we can calmly accept both of those, then we can be so supremely daring in our quest for holiness.
Absolutely. This
I
is awesome.
I love it.
Thank you. Look, I'm glad you made the point early now, because we got into more stuff that I
didn't. Yeah, we got more. We've got more, Taylor. There's always more.
There is always more. Speaking of more, we're adding more people to your ear holes whenever we come back. Father Joseph Anthony Kress, campus minister, chaplain over at the University of Virginia, who just won March Madness. He's going to join us. He is an absolute blast. Don't go anywhere. Well, hello, Miss Sullivan. What you doing?
Taylor, hi.
I thought we were in the commercial segment of the podcast. Why are you here?
What? What is going on?
Why are you here?
I'm looking around, trying to figure out, where am I?
No, you're staring at me in the eyes because you're like, well, I don't know what's going on either. One person complained.
Just one?
Just one. About how they didn't like that the ads were the same. And they've been the same for about 2 or 3 months or so. Like, I was being very fresh for a while, and then I just was like, eh, whatever, here you go.
Yeah.
Because they work. Like, people are buying stuff.
I mean, I have a speed up button for that, but go ahead.
Oh, I mean, like, just, I don't know why people don't skip 15 seconds like I do when I listen to other people's podcasts, but whatever.
You can put it on 2 times where it's like,
let's do that. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Just kidding. So, Allison, does anyone you know have a beard, lips, or skin?
Well, lips. I mean, everyone except the bird family, right? We've all got lips. This is everyone. This applies to everyone.
I don't know. I think everyone has skin. I think there are people without lips.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, in superhero movies, like, some burn victims without lips.
Trying not to laugh at that, Taylor.
It's okay. We're not recording. So
you always say that.
Well, most people, everybody at least has skin. So we, Catholic Bomb Co. has something perfect for everybody. If you have a beard, we have the best, absolute best balm. B-A-L-M, not bombs. That would be weird, and you couldn't get into an airport with it. I love it. I use it. It makes me smell great, which is a rarity before I use this thing. And it makes my beard look and feel good, and my wife loves me more. But also, there are things for your, there's lip balm, and there's, what do you call it, skin balm? It's not skin balm. It's like lotion.
A hydrating feature.
Yes.
Aloe.
The hydrating feature aloe.
Shea butter.
No, I don't think they have shea butter. I don't know about the lotion. I don't use it.
But no one's excluded. No,
all are welcome. That's in right. This place here at fortecatholic.com/bomb, where you can buy all of this at 11% off. Do it now. Back to Forte Catholic, the game where everything's made up and the points absolutely matter, although there are no points, which is strange for us today. But Allison, if there were points, I would have 17, you would have 21, you're in the lead.
Oh, good.
But our guest today, Father Joseph Anthony Kress, I was going to say he has more points, but he hasn't done anything, so he's losing right now. He has 0 points.
There's time.
Wow. I really don't like coming in as a loser, so we're going to have to correct that here real quick.
Well, I mean, it just means you're going to have to be good. Like, you're going to have to bring some hard-hitting content, some good stories.
It's early. It's still early.
Okay.
It is early.
Okay, here's what we do. You don't want to start at zero. I'll give you 1 point for being a priest. Like, you get Thank 1 point for
just being... Just one?
Just one. Allison, you're doing great, apparently.
That's all I could get is just a little bit of, like, we'll give you a charity point because, you know, the whole Jesus thing.
Like, wait. How many years were you in seminary, in formation?
How many years was I in? About 7.
Okay, like you have 7 points then. You've done nothing since then, but those 7 years, okay. You really tried hard.
That's a super biblical number we got there. Nice little seven.
Okay, so you're wearing all white today because it's because it's still Easter. Why are you wearing all white?
No, I'm wearing all white because I am a Dominican friar, and that's what we do. We rock clothes from about 800 years ago, fresh to death. So good, so good.
So, what do you do after Labor Day?
We still keep wearing white because we don't care.
We don't care.
I am
shocked.
We don't
care about fashion.
I'm shocked that Taylor knows a white rule, a seasonal white rule.
Oh, absolutely. I don't follow any rules, but I know them.
Oh, it's shocking.
Just like we talked about in the last segment, yeah. Where I broke all the Lenten rules. That was fantastic. Allison, do you wear white after Labor Day?
I try not to. I'm a rule follower, as it goes.
Here's my question. Here's my question that I don't know, Allison. This will make you feel better about your understandings of me. Technically, isn't every day after Labor Day until the next Labor Day? Like, when does that stop? When's
right.
the cutoff?
It's a good question.
Like, post-Labor Day.
I thought there's a Memorial there's Day, Labor Day.
Yeah, there's transition. A Memorial Day in there. So you have this very short window. And, you know, I like to wear all white during that window. So fresh and so clean. Throw in pops of color.
Austin's looking like she's going to like a P. Diddy party, just like dripping white, everything's just clean.
Yeah. So we had a male pageant in high school. I was in this in said male pageant, and I wore an all white tux,
wow.
Saying lean on me with my very not white friend, and we had an absolute blast. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. Speaking of fun and what we wore, I met you. Yeah, exactly. You know exactly where this is going. I met today's guest, Father Joseph Anthony Kress, who has lots of names. I'm still not sure why. There's a hyphen. It's very confusing. But we met at SEEK in January, and we've become best friends since, essentially. But at SEEK, I'm talking to him. I had been trying to get a hold of Jennifer Fulweiler just because I knew that she was at SEEK, and I was like, hey, I've been on your show before. We've actually never met in person.
Right.
Can we meet up in person?
You sang a ditty for her or something.
I did. Yeah. Just like you dressed for Diddy, I sang her a ditty, and we're just having a blast over here.
Today's the segment brought to you by Diddy.
Yeah, we're going to go to break, and it's going to be brought to you by Forte Catholic, Ciroc, Ripe Diddy.
Yes, I forgot about that.
All the people that gave up alcohol for Lent are really happy. They're like, I want some Ciroc. Like all these people who have never, don't even know who P. Diddy is. And Ciroc sounds fine. So I go over to meet Jen Fulweiler, and she's, you know, super, super cool. And I go and I meet her, and then she's, you know, she has all of her adoring fans. So the person that was talking to Jen whenever I walked up to her was Father Joseph Anthony Kress.
Got it.
So then I start talking to her, And then she starts talking to everyone else. So me and Father Joseph are just like, I guess we're friends now.
Right.
This is how this is going to go.
We're like, okay, there are two dudes and like 25 females here. So I guess we just automatically became friends.
Right.
I like how you said 25. There were like 20,000 people there. And you're like, there are seven of us. We're just sticking with that number seven. We're just going with that the whole rest of
details.
The show. So we talk, we chum it up, we have a good conversation. And then, like, later that day, he comes by the booth, and we have an even more in-depth conversation. It's one of those things that, like, a conversation that, like, you would have with, like, a really good friend, like, about, like, frustrations and disappointments. Mm. And it's like, we met 20 minutes ago, and now we're having this deep conversation.
I love when that happens.
And it was great. And everything, like, I was like, this priest is awesome. And then the big moment happens.
This is where it got real. So, like, I do want to take it back, though. Like, your booth at Seek was kicking.
Mm.
Okay. It was awesome. People, you had a prime location, and it was just people were in and out. You would have a Nintendo Switch rolling, or something like that. And so I just like kind of came by, and I don't know what it was that kind of kicked off our conversation, but it just kept rolling and rolling. Before you know it, we're like 2 hours deep into this conversation, just being like, "Yeah, ministry. You know, this is the life that we live. These are the sacrifices. This is the struggles, joys, and kind of sharing back and forth of what that looks like." Even though we both deal with different types of ministry, they're very interconnected in that kind of shared experience of it was real. Mm-hmm. And so, like 2-3 hours deep, we're like, I think we should." Like, go break, because like we'll just get lost here real quick. Like, we don't like pull a ripcord on it.
And I was like, this guy's been paused on Mario Kart for 3 hours waiting for me to come back. I kind of feel like I should go finish that round.
And you turned around and it's your son. He's like, I'm hungry, daddy.
No, it wasn't my son. It was Matt Frad's son selling everybody's lunch back to him. That kid was a hustler. We talked about that before. That was awesome. But okay, so we have this great conversation. And then a few hours later, time is not a thing at Seek. I don't know when it was, but a few hours later, I'm walking by and weird things happen at Seek. Like there was a priest with a mullet. That wasn't him. But then this full T-Rex costume starts walking by. And there's 18,000, 19,000 people there. Like I don't know this T-Rex. You can't see who it is. Then all of a sudden the T-Rex starts talking to me. And you know, like there's like the T-Rex head. Like in all these like big characters, there's like the head, and then there's like this
inflatable ones,
right? Yeah.
And then there's this little like peephole that you can get, like the person's face
in the
can
mouth.
See out, yeah, or like it was right below, like in the neck area.
Okay,
so I'm I'm staring at this dinosaur in the neck. You know, why is this dinosaur talking to me?
As one does.
Yeah, I was like, and then the dinosaur says, "It's me." I'm like, who's me? Like, I can't see you. You can see me. It was this man wearing his Dominican garb inside
of a T-Rex.
And then I just hung out with a T-Rex for a while.
It was
a bizarre day. That was our three interactions that day.
And they just like kept escalating higher. And it just like the absolute pinnacle was our interactions in the middle of I think you had a guitar, you were singing songs, and I just like ran up in a T-Rex, and you kind of had that fear in your eyes.
I've seen this movie, I'm gonna die.
Part of you was like, I know he's not gonna take my guitar because he has tiny arms. I'm not sure what else he's gonna do.
It was terrifying and silly. And I also like how you said that our interactions escalated, like order of priest importance, meeting conversation, the deep theological ministerial conversation. But the pinnacle of all of it is meeting as a dinosaur.
Totally,
like that's the
peak. Yeah.
That's the stance of the Dominican friars, actually. I didn't know if you knew this, but
that's what we're all gunning for right there.
So this is how we met, and I'm like, okay, this guy's awesome. I like him. We started following each other on social media, or at least I followed you. I think you followed back. I'm not quite sure. This is awkward. Okay,
yeah, I followed back.
Okay, good. And then like I was like, this guy's doing some great things. You are the campus minister at the University of Virginia, right?
Yep, I'm the chaplain down here at the University of Virginia. Wahoo, wah! National champions. It's great. But yeah, Central Virginia is beautiful and wonderful. But you're in Texas, so that's weird.
You're weird.
Yeah, I know.
So you know why you're weird? Okay, so priests often say things confusing, and when they do, it's because they're speaking in Latin. You're speaking another word that no one else understands that became pretty popular at the end of March Madness because your team won. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much.
What is this wahoo, 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 wah? What does that mean in Latin?
So it's like this unofficial mascot of the University of Virginia. So on the books, the University of Virginia are the Cavaliers, you know, go Cavs. But there are some different traditions in battle cries through the University of Virginia. And one of them is the battle cry, wahoo, wah. And you just shorten it again to like the kind of unofficial mascot are the Wahoos. And then that gets even shortened further to being the Hoos, H-O-O-S. And so our ministry name, our branding are the Catholic Hoos, H-O-S, which is always hilarious when you're telling people what your email address is or different things like that. They're like, who, what? Are you guys illiterate down there? But that's the kind of story behind it. And it just is this unique little kind of battle cry and mascot, the Wahoos.
We've had some questions about like the who's who in church. We've never had a what's who's.
Yes, like right, right.
This is the first time that's ever happened. So we got connected. We started talking, and then like one of the things that we had talked about, because you go on Gentle Wives podcast all the time and a radio show, and I was like, Well, I need to get you on at some point. And then, you know, like 4 months later, I finally texted you and said, hey, will you come on in 12 hours? And you're like, sure, I'm not busy.
It's just the Monday after Easter.
In the morning, right before you have to go hear confessions. You're a good person, much better than me. But everyone knew that because they've heard the show. Which, by the way, I think puts you ahead of me in points now. I think now ranking. What did you have? You had 21?
21.
21. I think I've lost a few points since we started. I think I'm down to like 12.
Gap is narrow.
But you're at like 19 now. So you're in second place.
Okay.
But we're getting there. We're moving there.
I'm okay with that.
You're about to lose some points, though, because we were talking about you getting a podcast, and I was very excited about you getting a podcast.
Yes.
I was like, I want to help this guy out. Like, I feel like he has a voice that people would want to listen to. And then the Lord emphatically said that shouldn't happen when you and I were having a conversation about this podcast. Mm-hmm. And then, we had talked. I mean, I was sitting in a Blue Baker eating my lunch, and then he calls and is like, hey, I want to do a podcast. I'm like, cool, let's do it. Here's how you do it. And he was all excited. And then he got in a wreck while we were on the phone.
No. Yeah.
I'm driving my car. I'm just like trucking down and I'm kind of getting excited and getting like working out in my head.
Right.
Okay, like, what's this going to look like? How do we want to roll this out?
Yeah.
The campus minister here in the ministry, Corinne, and I, we've been talking about it for a while. So we're like really balls getting moving. And as everything's like really progressing, moving in the right direction, one thing stopped moving, and that was the car in front of
me. Wow.
And I was like, And it was just, it wasn't bad. It was just a little kind of love tap, a little like schmoochum. And I was like, Taylor, I'll call you back. I just got in an accident. He's like, what? I was like, I'll call you back.
Oh, my gosh.
The amount of times that has happened to me, apparently
okay.
I'm distracting.
Hold on. Why does this mean that the Lord emphatically said no? Could he just be saying pay attention? Could he just be saying slow down?
I don't know. I don't understand the Lord, which is why I have Allison here all the time and a priest of the Lord here today.
He works in mysterious ways. Yeah. Like insurance claims.
The lady was very nice. He called me back like 45 seconds later. Everything's fine. What do you mean everything's fine?
This is not fine.
It was really amazing. Like both the vehicle in front of me and myself, we immediately pulled off into a parking lot and I get out of the car and I'm in the habit. I'm like kind of upset because I'm like, oh, this is totally my fault. And she gets out of the car and goes, it's fine. Didn't even look at the back end of her car. She's like, it's fine. No big deal. I'm just going to continue on. I was like, okay.
I want to get away from you.
Yeah.
That has happened a number of times. I get out of the car wearing my habit. People are like, we're good. Just keep on with your life.
It's
no problems here. Here, take some French fries. Just go.
It's like, I got money from the wreck, but I'm also going to hell because I extorted a priest.
Oh, my gosh.
At least you were wearing that and not the T-Rex outfit. That would have been a little strange.
She would have been like, okay, there's a reason why you hit me. Yeah. You couldn't drive. You couldn't like turn the steering wheel with
tiny
your
tiny little
arms.
It's the tiny hands again. So here's what I want to do. We have a few minutes left. I want to talk about the ministry that you do because you are working with college students and a lot of our audience is young adults. So what are the things that you have noticed as a priest working with young people? What are the big things that young adults need to stay connected to their faith and find a place in the church?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because when we work on college campus and what happens a lot is they are looking for basically two things. We live in a culture and a society that has delayed maturity basically to the age of the university in the college time. So students are for the first time really experiencing independence and thus they're kind of searching for who they are. A lot of what we talk about with the students is like understanding who we are and our identity. And that's just so important. And I always kind of go back to John Paul II. And he said, you know, Jesus Christ reveals man to himself. And in this time where there's so much chaos and everybody's kind of telling them, hey, you do you and you figure out who you are and, you know, that's good for you, then that's good for you. I'm happy if you're happy type of a thing. But there's this deep hunger inside of them that says, well, actually, I don't know what makes me happy. And I want to be drawn into something greater than myself. And so helping to kind of understand that human desire and speak to that and help them to encounter the one who does tell them who they are. You know, that they're the beloved sons and daughters of God. And it's from that identity that they can take on anything else that's coming along the way. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that we really deal with is just helping them to understand who they are and who they've been created in the image and likeness of.
So like, how does that happen? Because like a lot of like, everybody grows up in the church is told you're a daughter and son of God, you're a child of God. Like, how do we get that? Like, how are you able to get that to set in with people who are like, okay, this actually means something in my life now?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of, just being there for them. I mean, a lot of these conversations and a lot of what happens is, you know, we've increased our sacramental presence. We started doing adoration on grounds and, you know, we have three daily masses for our students. Like we have a really robust sacramental life and that's where it all has to begin. But a lot of it is drawing from that experience, but also just be there. Like a lot of it is going to be when, you know, when they kind of get sick and tired of the party scene. Mm-hmm. That's really when it happens. Like somebody will show up at mass on a Sunday night at 9 p.m. and realize they're done with it. Mm-hmm. You know, that one frat party the weekend before just it's not what they really want. And another aspect is when they're dealing in the classrooms or they're looking at applications and resumes and internships, and they kind of get everything that they'd set out for their first year here. And they realize that they're still not happy. Mm-hmm. Like that hasn't satisfied them. And so I think a lot of what we do is when we find that hunger, when they express that hunger, is to be able to sit with them and try to kind of explain why they're still hungry is because there's that lack of identity. And so we just kind of work within those contexts. And it's constantly having our antennae up for those types of situations, for those types of just moments where they're like, it's not enough here. And to search for more.
I really love that age of human because I think there is some, I think they're the perfect human being. And I know they're not really perfect, but that's just the silly stuff. But there is something about that age group that has perfectly balanced humility. They're young and they know it. And then a little bit of life experience. And so the combination of humility plus a little bit of wisdom is just such a delightful combination. And it was at that moment in my own faith journey that I saw myself not as God loves his children, okay, but no, God loves me, his child. Mm. There was something about that that became very individual. I think that when you picture, you know, God loving his children in this big embrace, up until that point, that young adult point, I saw myself just outside of it. And there was something about relationship, you know, all of the things that you're talking about, entering into real relationship, that made me feel like the one, you know, that it became very personal. So,
and I think that's part of like the kind of coming of age, you know, you start
exactly,
to come into your own
exactly.
independence, your individuality.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's so easy to still continue to get caught up in everything else. Like
sure.
there's the, you know, there's the, what is it? The Wall Street uniform, you know, with the chinos and the Patagonia vest.
Mm-hmm.
Like if people still are drawn to blending in.
Sure.
And when you can start to tap into like, hey, no, you are individually specific, wonderful. There's something unique about
yeah.
you. And that's good.
Well, there's a lack of accountability that way. If you can just blend yeah. in, then you don't have to do anything about it. And so there's no response, you know, to the love that he gave first. It's not necessary if it doesn't really apply to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for somebody listening who is hearing this as a young adult that doesn't have the community like you guys have on your university, like what's the take home for them? What's the thing for them? It's like, here's what you need to know and or do to take the next step in your faith, or just to know who you are, establish your identity.
And I think it really is, it can be daunting, right? Because sometimes we convince ourselves it's like, oh, I'm the only person who knows the totality of who I am. And I'm not always happy with that. And so that's terrifying because you don't want to enter into relationships or anything where you are found out as a hypocrite or a fraud or you're struggling or whatever. And you don't want to broadcast that. But what I encourage people to do, like, you said they may not have this kind of natural community of proximity that mm-hmm. College campuses and college ministries provide, is that immediate mm-hmm. spontaneous proximity. I would say you got to start small. You know, I saw a beautiful survey once where they're like, everybody, like no matter how popular you are, no matter how busy you are, how successful, it pretty much boils down to everybody only has about 200 to 250 people in their life that they interact with on a regular basis. And I would say even out of that, you have to find maybe three. Hmm. If you can pick your three and share a life in a real way, don't just share residence, don't just share meals, but to begin to share a life together, that's where true community begins. Hmm. And one of my friends once told me you have to belong before you believe and believe before you can act and behave.
Yeah, that's good.
And so if we want to really change kind of how we live our faith, we have to understand that we belong first to God and help each to belong to each other. And then we can deepen our faith and belief and deepen how we act and change how we behave.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, Father, I'm glad you said that, because you're definitely one of my 250, but unfortunately you're not one of my three. So we got to let you go. our time is up. Our time is
okay.
up. But hey, I think you did really good. It was just like if you're watching one of those sports shows where they're arguing and you get points as you go through. You
yeah.
made a bunch of great points.
Yes.
You have 22 points, narrowly beating out Allison for the trophy that doesn't exist.
Well deserved.
Very proud of all of you. Father Joseph Anthony, how can people find you on the interwebs?
Okay. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at J-A-Kress, K-R-E-S-S-O-P.
Awesome. Guys, go follow him. He's a blast to follow, and he's a great, great example of what the priesthood should be. Thanks so much for coming on today. I appreciate it.
It was a joy. We should do it again sometime.
Oh,
God bless, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Father.
Adios, guys. We'll be right back, Allison and I, for our final segment of the day. Well, hello, Allison.
Taylor.
People are going to get tired of hearing us if it's just the
Fancy
two of us.
Fancy meeting
the whole
you
show.
Here.
Wow, this is amazing. Allison, does anyone you know have feet?
A couple. A couple of feet.
No bird victims on television with no feet for some reason. Yeah, we got some great things for your feet from our buddies over at Sock Religious.
Sock it to me.
I'm loving doing this with you. This is so much. We have found a new trait for you. You are great at reading podcast ads. This is absolutely fantastic. So this past Easter, I got to wear the resurrection socks. And like,
I saw.
No one ever compliments me on how I look because I look like this. I got so many compliments for those socks. Now, granted, it was only a picture of my feet and sock
area. You have
area.
Really nice ankles. It's true.
Wow, that's a strange thing to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
they
that.
They are lovely.
The NFL scouts told me, the NCAA scouts told me the same thing.
That you have good ankles.
Yeah.
Especially like, adorned with Jesus.
This is why. Yes. That's what they said. You're a fast white person. Must be adorned by Jesus. Well, you too can be adorned by Jesus. If you go to fortecatholic.com/socks, S-O-C-K-S, you can get 15% off your next order. And you too can finally be cool. Like I was finally cool for one day.
Make your feet faithful.
Make your feet fun again. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am still Taylor Schroll. My evil twin has not yet taken over today. But some would say that my evil twin, if they existed, would sound just like this.
Hey, hey.
That is Allison Sullivan, my co-host for the day, who gave me these glaring eyes as she sadly did what I asked her to do when I pointed at her with my hands that you can't see because this is all audio. You know who else's hands you can't see? Allison's. She dances every time.
Every time. The music never gets old, Taylor. I commend you.
You know what people do say gets old? The ads in between the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm recording new ones today.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an absolute blast. I've never been more excited.
I believe you.
So, speaking of things I'm excited for, you do this podcast thing that we've talked about before. It's actually it's how you came onto the show for the first time.
For sure.
Onto this show. Mm-hmm. Because we were like, let's talk about your show. Because like I'm very loving and self-sacrificial. I want to be like, hey, audience, go away and go to Dota Allison. And then all of my female audience did. Are you happy?
That is not true.
Okay, one of them stayed. Thanks, Mom.
Okay, but Sinner Saint Sister, if you're interested, just saying.
Right. So, Sinner Saint Sister is your podcast. I don't know if I've talked about it yet. I went on. Like, it came out last week. I don't know if I've talked. Maybe I have talked about it on the show. I don't know.
It was
a
great episode.
Tired.
I loved it.
It was fun. So go check out. Only listen to my episode. That's how we'll do this. Sinner Saint Brother is what we called that one because I'm a man.
Yes.
Real man.
Yes. And you are the third man on the show. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Still sad about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
I thought that was good.
I really wanted to be first.
Oh.
I've been on this Sinner Saint Sister game way before those other two.
You know what?
Have.
You were a really loyal listener and I really appreciated that.
Oh, okay. Just a listener?
Well, what do you mean?
The amount of work I put into your podcast to
help
get started.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my gosh. That was so rude of me. You're so right. Gosh.
Whatever,
like,
Taylor. You're just a listener at this point.
Call you in the middle of the night. Help.
Yes.
You know.
Okay. So you started.
I started a podcast because I am surrounded by the most humble, insightful people. And as we were
just talked about me coming on, you can't say things like that.
It's like I'm immediately discredited.
Oh, wait. The other people are humble. I'm insightful. That's what you meant.
Okay. But as we were living life together and sharing details of life and how we had lived life deeply, it was like, everybody needs to hear this. I mean, I was having such wonderful conversations. So like, come sit with me in my closet and let me put a microphone in your face and let's push publish. And so that's how the podcast came to be. And what I was realizing was happening is that God works so beautifully within relationship. And so there was something about getting up close to stories that was really reconciling people, that was really bringing people together. As you know, I'm a convert. And so I love my Protestant roots and everything that I learned about celebration and joy of the gospel. And then I love
that's where you're contrarian. We talked earlier in the show about you being contrarian.
Yes.
That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. You're just constantly protesting.
Just protesting all the time. But I love my Catholic home, too. And so the Lord pierced my heart for unity. Unity became very important to me. And then, you know how when something's true with a capital T, it's true everywhere? So it was like I had this great desire to see Catholics and Protestants worship God together. And then I started to have a desire to see unity across not just denominational lines, but racial lines and gender lines and age lines. You know, so unity started to become a really important thing in my life. And so the live recording, which I was initially resistant to because I love me a good edit. You know what I mean? Like a live recording sounds kind of scary to me. But a friend had the idea and I said, fine, if Taylor will help me put it together because the technical aspects seemed really hard. And so we've had
this hashtag more than a listener,
more than a listener. Yes. But this is the third one. And so this one feels especially vulnerable because it's about race. So I'm just choosing to, you know, get up and talk about arguably the most divisive thing in our history. but it's important. It feels really important. Everything is fever pitched right now. And so it feels like an important conversation to have. I've invited some really transcendent prophetic voices to turn the microphone over. I'm obviously no expert when it comes to racism. So just turning the microphone over to people who are bridge builders and peacemakers and have a lot of hope for us as God's church. So
my favorite part about this is about all the live recordings you've had. It's always been about unity. Mm-hmm. So the first two mm-hmm. were focused on like Catholic Protestant unity. Mm-hmm. And this one is like racial unity. Like right. What are the biggest things that divide us in the church? It's Protestant Catholic and life. Like you're right. It's probably race. Like it's a very high argument that somebody could make. And I think most people don't talk about it because it's a scary conversation to have. I could mess up. I could say something wrong. And I totally feel that. I get that. Another friend of mine's podcast, who I also edit, but they probably just call me listener too. They said they did a podcast on like homosexuality mm-hmm. and ministry, mm-hmm. and it was not a perfect conversation.
Right.
And they admitted that at the beginning.
Yes.
And they were right. Like it wasn't
a
perfect conversation.
Yeah.
But they tried.
Exactly.
It's two people who like are genuinely connected to God, genuinely like care about this issue. It's like somebody needs to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Because then people can start coming out of the woodworks. It's like, actually, when you said this, it meant this. And I think like that same kind of thing with you is like you're bringing in people with differing perspectives and people that can speak into this thing. And hopefully it's not none of us expect the conversations about race or Protestant Catholic or homosexuality to be conversation enders, but conversation starters.
Absolutely. And racism is such an awful, ugly thing that we refuse to examine it. But I'm convinced that if we could just be a little kinder with ourselves, a little more gentle, then we could come to some truths a little easier because nothing's going to change until it becomes what it is. But we're so afraid of being labeled a racist that we have these unexamined biases. And so we refuse to engage. And I am convinced that when our discomfort is so great that we refuse to have the conversation, then an enemy wins.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So people are coming in locally, but they're also coming in from all over the place. So where is it? When is it? And what? How do people get there?
Yes. So it is April 30th. It's a Tuesday night. It's going to start at 7 and it will be over at 10. It's at the Grand Stafford Theater and tickets are $10. Come listen. Is it going to be perfect? No. But it's a start. It's a conversation starter.
Right here in Bryan. I went to I've been to both of them, but the last one was so much fun at the Grand Stafford. Like there's there's a bar, which was fun.
Even that old bar tells a story. I loved that place so much.
Sitting in the back, have a drink, sitting with Matt Regetz, who's been on the show before, a good friend of yours. He was one of the speakers that night. It was just an absolute blast for me. So, and then obviously for the people who can't make it, they can listen to it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. On Sinner State Sister, the season four finale. Yeah. Season four finale on Sinner State Sister. It won't be as cool as obviously the last episode that released with me. Mm-hmm. But whatever. So
I'm convinced that if we could just get our information knee to knee from other people instead of social media, It would be a really great start to some change.
Wait, social media isn't the way to change the world? Is that not a thing?
All the spin, all the bias. Wait, no.
Wait. So, okay. So what's the one thing you want people to walk away from at this event?
I really believe that Bryan College Station is ground zero for revival. I've been saying that. I just think that we have what it takes in this town where every church is on fire to really be a city on a hill. I think that we can come together in this community and be a model and the ripple effects of change. God is doing something new.
I like how you consider the Brazos Valley a city on a hill. It's like we're quite literally
fair
in a valley, but we can be.
God is about paradox, Taylor.
Paradox.
Maybe you haven't heard.
Maybe I haven't. Maybe you're right.
Well, come.
Well, I love it. So, hey, thank you guys for listening to today's show. Allison, thanks for coming in on Easter Monday morning as we record
this. I love it. I love being here with you. I love the things that come up. Some things we plan, a lot of things we don't. It's always a good time.
Well, I always have a plan, and then usually we talk
about
other things.
I derail it.
Yeah. But it's great. It's real life. I love it. I love our conversations. Guys, thanks so much for listening to today's show. For everything Forte Catholic, speaking, music, past shows, top shows ever, FORTECatholic.com. I'll be back next week. See ya! Allison!
Taylor.
Yes?
I'm upset with you.
Okay. Well, you know where else you're upset with me? Over on patreon.com/ForteCatholic. All of our conversations that happen before the show, after the show, in between segments, bonus hours of content with Allison Sullivan, all of our great guests, all of our co-hosts. It is so much fun. You can get more. The show continues. The show must go on.
I really wish I had a delete button.
Well, you don't. On your show, you do. You can make me say whatever you want. On my show, I can make you say whatever I want. Patreon.com/ForteCatholic. Go do it, and you can listen to Allison yell at me some more.
Taylor embarrasses his guests.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.